My family have been here about 100 years.
Have they?
100 years, my family have farmed here. There are not many farms left in East. Well, the land is still here, but the little farms have all been amalgamated into, like I farm parts and, well, I farm one total farm. I've got my own farm here. I rent one next door, which used to be a 100 acres farm. That's coming to me.
Right.
And there's two at the back here that I bought blocks of land off. You know, so they're gone. So really, where there was one, two, three, four, five farms, isn't there one?
One. So what's your acreage here?
My farm is 300 acres.
Yeah.
And that's getting to be a small hold, isn't it?
The
way the equipment's going. We farm, mixed farm. Sheep, cattle, grain, fruit.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I run another little business where I buy fruit in as well.
Oh, what sort of soft fruit?
Well, damsons, apples.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. And you've got, is it children who are also on the farm here as
I've
well?
I've got one son that's helped me on the farm.
Right, I've met him.
That's Neil.
Right.
And then I've got another one that's got a yard at Wolferton, a wood yard.
Right.
And does logs.
Yeah.
Firewood. When I first came home from school, I came home when I was 16, so that would be 1950s. From 1956, father had got two full-time men here, and the farm was only 160 acres in. And prior to that, and they used to say they couldn't keep more than about 40 or 50 sheep here. I now keep 500. Yeah, that's the difference.
Do you have hired help now?
No, it's just me and my son.
Mm.
We do hire somebody in now at lambing time.
Right.
Only since last year. This is a chap called Granfield as well.
Mm.
Used to work for my grandmother. My grandmother was here first. They came from Tipton Old Tetson Delamate to here. And my grandfather died just after they came here, must have done. And my father found a farm for my grandmother. But they had an old wagoner chap called Granfield. And he always used to go to Worcester Hop Fair. Well, they'd take the wagon and horses to Worcester Hop Fair. And he'd go to Worcester Hop Fair, it was a big sheep sale at that time. But he always used to buy a great big cheese every year when he went to bring back home. Anyway, he used to get terribly drunk. And he walked carrying this cheese. They used to tie the horses in the Bell Yard then, which is down the street that's just been flooded in Worcester, the far end.
Hilton Road.
Hilton Road. Right, yes. At the end of Hilton Road used to be a pub called The Bear.
Oh, right. Is that...
Just before you get to the bridge.
Gone
now. Where McDonald's are.
Oh, I know. Yes.
The new McDonald's in the corner there. Used to be a pub there called The Bear.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he used to tie the wagon and horses in the Bear Yard and then go over the way, over the river to the market, where the market was just over there.
Oh, yeah, of course, the cattle market, where the car park is now.
Yeah. And it was just to buy this cheese. Anyway, he must have got drunk, so he gathered his cheese up and he walked all the way back from Worcester here.
No.
And he got back here. They said, well, where are the horses? Oh, you've forgotten? Totally forgotten about them. So he walked all the way back to Worcester and collected them and brought them back.
That's a heck of a way.
Yeah.
That would take you most of the day, we thought.
Take him half the day and half the night, I swear.
Yeah. I don't know.
We lamb in March,
right?
And the whole flock lambs, you know, within a month. Mm. And then we sell all the lambs, the store lambs, in September all on one day.
Oh, right.
We've done that for years. Towards nearly 1,000 lambs every year all on one day to local auction.
Yeah.
And like our lambs were averaging nearly £60 a piece then. Mm. The small time they'd been on the farm. Because they're not making much more just at the moment now.
No.
They've gone down to that.
Mm.
But it suited our system to do it like that. We've done it for years. Clear them away, all in one day. And that's it. Everything goes, as long as it'll stand up and walk.
Yes.
I'd get up about 7 in the morning. My son would get up earlier, 4 or 5 o'clock. And I'd get up at 7, 8 o'clock then. And I'd work with him through till about 3, 4 o'clock. Yeah. Then I'd knock off then till sort of 8 o'clock at night. Yeah. And go and lie on the settee and have a sleep or rest or some sort. And then I'd start again.
Right.
And I used to sleep on the settee out in the other, right in the kitchen there. I never go to bed for a month hardly. And just catnap every couple of hours, you know, go out, do what I gotta do. If all was quiet, come back in, go to sleep for an hour, hour and a half, go back out again. My brain, my body clock would keep telling me, if I laid in there and go to sleep and say to myself, right, I've got to be up at 2 o'clock. And within 5 minutes either side, I'd wake up. And,
really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's funny how it goes.
Yeah.
Then I'd do all night then till about, if it was quiet at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd go to bed for about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
Now this was a prisoner of war that married a local girl.
Right.
I got a little small mountain just up the road. And he came and brought some sheep. Our father went, only about 10 or 15, just to go on his small mountain. And we'd sold them to him and he'd take them away. But they got our mark on them, you see.
Oh, right.
Anyway, they must have had him 3 or 4 or 5 months. And Tony Pyatt, that lives in the next door farm up here, whether he saw us or ran us up, and he said, do you realise there's some of your sheep up on the top ground? And we said, no, we didn't realise. So off we go, me and father, and collect them up, put them in the trailer, and bring them back home and turn them out for the hours. And they were the ones we'd sold. We just turned back in this field opposite the road. My mother shouted, those are those sheep you sold to Patsy. So we quickly gathered them up again and took them back. On the other side, as I said, I'm buying fruit. I think the only person buying damsons left in the country.
Don't you?
I buy them in for Dutchy jams. Mm. Rich Charles Dutchy jams.
Yeah.
We supply all them.
Oh, wow.
And we supplied damsons to Innocent Drinks a couple of years
ago. Make smoothies, don't they?
They made a special smoothie. They came down here, Innocent Din did a lot of filming.
Did they?
Yeah, my photograph was on the box.
Oh, brilliant.
And I was on YouTube as well.
Yeah, that's excellent.
That was just a one-off, that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a special run for about a month.
Yeah.
But I've done the Dutchy Gap ones. Those are organic. I have to get them from 2 particular farms that are organic.
Right.
They have about 30, 40 tons a year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I supply another company that distributes them all into various people. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anybody else left in the country doing it.
No.
I bought an existing fruit business, you see. When we first started, we used to start with rhubarb, then gooseberries, blackcurrants, strawberries, raspberries, through to plums, damsons, apples.
Wow.
We do firewood logs quite a bit now.
Oh, do you? For wood burners and things?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Process it.
Yeah.
My son, the one who's out here on the farm, he's got a processor. And that kicked off because of a lot of the fell in and that, and we had to do hollered in and that for the higher level students.
Oh, right.
So we bought a processing machine to process them into logs. Mm. And then my other son, he buys all these timber in because he's got a wood yard at Wofferton.
Right.
And he operates from there, but he's got a processing machine. He does it in quite a big way, you know, over a couple of thousand, 3,000 ton a year.
Mm.
All okay. Every day, quite a big business that's got, growing all the while as well.
Mm.
In fact, we're going to see a new processing machine next week with it.
Right.
We've planted a lot of hedges and planted a lot of traditional orchards. Mm-hmm. And we seeded a 40-acre field then with a river of grass seeds to stop the soil erosion going mm-hmm. into the river. What else have we done? We're on very low nitrogen input.
Oh, right.
In fact, we don't use very much nitrogen on the grass at all.
Right.
We're not in an NBZ as yet, as I don't think we're in an NBZ. We haven't been, unless it's just been recent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that's one of the big things now, NBZs. Mm-hmm. Funny, I don't know why we're not in it just here, especially as we got a mile of river. Don't make sense.
No.
Because the river's a triple SI, of course.
Right.
But we haven't been in there. But we don't use very much nitrogen at all.
No.
Not on the grass, we do on the arable crops.
Mm. That's having a big impact on farming though, isn't it, the stewardship schemes?
Oh yes. They're basically, a lot of the work that we've done is when you've got plenty of labour on the farms years ago, is natural work that you would do.
Mm.
You know, hedge laying and planting new hedges and planting new trees and that.
Mm.
It's winter sort of work that you would have been doing.
Yeah.
Because of the labour was all gone, the jobs didn't get done. Mm. Yeah, we've been on our level. Basically because we've got a very old barn out there.
Oh, right.
And it was collapsing.
Mm.
And it's a listed building. It's in the Worcestershire Guide. And, of course, I'm supposed to keep it up. Well, you can't afford to spend money on a, your own money on a thing that, because it's not of any real use for modern day
agriculture. No. Mm.
But we had a massive grant, to put it right.
Oh, right.
That's why I went into our level. I had to do a lot of other work out on the farm.
Okay.
But basically, to get help. Right.
Mm.
We had 80% grant on it.
Oh wow, gosh.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I'm pleased. Yeah.